All right, so my name is Brian Scherenbrock, and I'm doing part one of a two-person talk for what we've learned in two Soul Shop events. All right, so I ran a Soul Shop event in Stevens Point, Wisconsin last year. If you're not familiar what Soul Shop is, it's a public outreach education opportunity in which clients or the public brings in samples, and you do some testing for them, and you tell them a bit about their soils, okay? And I'm a firm believer in whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger, so I decided that I'm going to do this as part of a classroom exercise. So I included it in my Urban Soils course, and how I did this, I kind of broke up the syllabus and the timeline, and we divvied up the class, and we took it off in chunks. Okay? And each of the 19 students in the course were assigned roles that they selected in order to accomplish this soil shop exercise. Okay? One really important component of Soul Shops is establishing really good partners to help you out with it. And these are some of our partners. We have Neighborhood Association, which is integral in terms of getting people there. Farm Shed, which is a local cooperative, a student club, EPA, and we had a couple of university collaborators that helped us out as well, too. We advertised through Facebook. We did a press release, and we also did a little blurb on a local news media. And then we also created a whole bunch of paper flyers, and the students distributed these out throughout the neighborhood to let people know about the event. So there's our greeting station when people came in to check in. Unfortunately, the weather did not cooperate with us on that day. We did end up getting about 75 people that showed up, but we were hoping for many more. And there's some of the students in the class greeting our first client. So when somebody came there, we collected their sample, and our soil shop was run a little bit different than a lot of these. We asked the client what they're interested in. Okay, we did soil lead, but we also screened for soil quality. So we gave them some options in terms of what they could potentially have us test for. We collected their sample, we gave them a little ticket like that, and then we sent them off on their way, well, I'll talk about that in a minute. This is the screening team, so the samples were run up by runners to our laboratory, and they ran them for the physical, chemical, and also lead properties. And one of our partners, that's Ashley from University of Minnesota, who is one of Nick Jelinski's graduate students, and she came down with her XRF and helped us out with the lead. Okay, so that screening was occurring. The clients then had the opportunity to experience some of our educational sessions that we put on. So these included hands-on exercises that the students in the course designed. Here's a couple examples about some easy-peasy ways to do pH and soil texture. And then we also, at the same time, ran concurrent educational sessions that were put on by a couple university professors and some of our partners. Okay, so they had stuff to do while they're waiting. The screening took about 10 minutes to an hour. And once they were done, they met with some more students, and we interpreted our results with them. So as part of the course, they had to make these one-page flyers, and we had flyers for each one of the screening parameters that we ran, and then the students sat down and talked about what they saw in their soils. And as part of those flyers, they developed these little tables that linked what they saw on their soils to then some potential management recommendations. Okay? So, yeah. So what did we learn? So first and foremost, I think a soil shop event is not just a lead screening. It can be whatever you like it. Okay, we really geared ours towards soil quality. Lead isn't that big of an issue, but gardening up in Stevens Point is huge. Okay, so we did most of our interpretations in terms of soil quality. The only lead contaminated sample was probably from Jim, who brought it from Chicago. Thank you, Jim. Identifying roles was really critical because they had 19 students in this class, so making sure all the parts were moving together in a nice machine was critical, and leadership. So if that figure I showed, student leaders for each one of those teams really helped run things smoothly. The partners, again, partners really helped us enhance the event. And the probably the most critical thing I think that helped us was a practice run. We did a practice run before, and we worked out most of the kinks. Okay, and there is one student in the audience here who actually attended this, so if you want a student perspective, talk to Luke. He's got a poster as well, too. So I think that's my 5 minutes. Right, Jim?
Yeah.
Jim's going to go on.
It seems like cheating.
I thought I had
two. So last June 9th, a colleague of mine who teaches in our Master's in Public Health program at DePaul, we ran what we call the Lead Health Fair, but the bulk of it was Soil Shop. Our community partner was an organization, not-for-profit, called Build Chicago, Building Up Individuals for Leadership Development. They're located on the near west side, or on the west side of Chicago, in the Austin community. The Austin community is predominantly low-income African-American. It's plagued by high disinvestment. Lots of buildings that were built before 1975, so that have lead-based paint. And it also has some of the highest diagnoses of childhood lead, elevated lead levels. That is far in exceedance of 5 micrograms per deciliter. So we had some history of working with Build, or my co-PI Julia did. These are some of the departments that were involved, and particularly undergraduate students, again, played sort of different roles. And we received funding internally from DePaul through the Vincentian Endowment Fund. The objectives were to assess community exposures to lead in soil and water, and provide lead education to the community. And this was kind of our practice run, in a sense. We were piloting what we hope to be is an effective model for community-based lead health fair that's focused on lead as an environmental health issue. So what did we do? We relied on Build to really work to promote this event through their listservs. Build runs a lot of activities, and we partnered with them during one of their monthly family nights. So this young man was a high school sophomore taking and hating his chemistry class, and his teacher said, well, she told the students, you can do a service project and maybe you can work and do something in a lab and help out. So he's a family friend. He contacted me. I had him assemble 60 sampling kits that consisted of a Nalgene bottle and some soil sampling bags, and we followed US EPA and ATSDR procedures. There is a Latino population in this area, so we had instructions in both English and Spanish. And it's really important to provide incentives for the community to participate beyond just giving them information about lead content in their soil. We provided free food and plenty of swag. So we gave everybody who brought in a sample of water and soil, they had to bring both, a free Brita water filter, and we also raffled off an iPad. We analyzed the soil with PXRF that was donated by our local thermoscientific rep. We tested tap water using the Hog Lead Track 2 kit. And then the MPH students and some of the undergraduate students majoring in health science provided lead education. So essentially what we did is we took the lead data from the PXRF and the tap water, and we handed this ticket, much like Bryant had, but not as quite as detailed, to these folks, and they explained what those numbers meant, and then they also educated them on how they can reduce their exposure to lead, but also what they could do to mitigate, lead problems in their soil. So here are some of the things that we learned. In Chicago, it's very important to have a reliable community partner. Keep in mind that when working in these low-income communities of color, they are often used by academics as sites to test out new and innovative things. And if you talk to them, they often feel like guinea pigs. What are you doing for us? And they become very resistant. So you have to build trust. There's a strong social component to doing work like this. You have to build the trust of the community. Fortunately, Julia Lippert, my co-PI and MPH, had already done a number of things with Build, so we had that trust. We realized that we should have gotten a signed memorandum of understanding that kind of sets out who's going to do what, when, and where. You know, kind of like us, not-for-profits are constantly seeking grant funding to keep themselves going. So once they kind of signed on with us, they moved on to other projects, and we ended up, doing the bulk of the work, including trying to work with them to do outreach. So if we do this again, and we are, we've got a proposal in place to run 6 more of these fairs with the Metropolitan Chicago YMCA. We already have a signed MOU that defines these things. You have to make it easy for community members to participate beyond just educating them about lead. And it's important, we think, to partner with, you know, a local MPH program or public health folks that can provide that lead education. People are, they're nervous. You know, a lot of these people were really kind of wigged out, you know, a little nervous about what we were going to find. We also did a survey. Julia got an IRB and she conducted a survey, and we asked a number of questions about what these folks knew about lead in soil and tap water. And basically, they knew very little. And as I pointed out last year at last year's meeting, in Chicago, when we talk about lead, we tend to talk about lead exposure from two major sources: inhalation of lead dust from lead-based paint, as well as lead in tap water that's coming from the leaching of lead service lines. No one talks about lead in soil as a potential exposure pathway, and I and others think that it's probably a very significant exposure pathway. All of these people have fed into a personal research project that I have ongoing called the What's in Your Soil Project, and where we're looking at a whole slew of soil health indicators beyond just lead. And so we'll be working with them to come out and do more detailed sampling. So it was a good experience, and we're going to move on, and hopefully if we get some more internal funding, we'll be running more of these lead health fairs. And that's all I have. Are there any questions? Any questions for any of our hot topic speakers? Yep.
I have a question for you. Did you say you use the XIS for drinking water?
No. We use a kit from the Hock company called LeadTrack 2. It's an extraction process, and that was actually the bottleneck. Took about 15 to 20 minutes per sample. So all 60 kits were taken. We had about 32 people that showed up, which means there's 28 people walking around with a perfectly good Nalgene bottle out there. So, you know, we wish the participation would have been better, but I think part of the problem was is Build was running several events on June 9th, and they just didn't give us the time and do the outreach that we wished they would have. So that was a huge lesson learned. We were hoping that we'd have all 60 show up. Jeff, did you have a question? We did. We had one sample that was 1,800 parts per million, and I think we had two or three that were in the 500 to 700 parts per million range. That's in total lead. Well, they took the samples, and so we followed the APSDR had a sort of a cartoon sample procedure. It's down about 4 inches. So that's part of the issue is you may get...
Zero to four?
Yes, zero to four, yeah. Other questions? Thank you for coming.